SDPB's Kevin Wooster joins us now from Rapid City. You can find Kevin's blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, welcome back to In the Moment.
It's great to be welcome back, Lori.
All right. What's on your mind this week, Kevin? Fishing and cattle branding and politics, all wrapped up into Marty Jackley.
I strolled past the TV a little while ago and was watching Donald Trump talk about matters of faith, which reminded me of when I tried to talk about quantum physics. No, I'm sure that's a more familiar subject to him than it appears, and it's certainly more familiar than me in quantum physics. But
as I watch that too, I just think these are the conversations that we need to be having, you know, in the state about faith and the where it intersects with politics and what all that means. So lots of rich material there. But let's talk fishing.
I think now that you mentioned that, I think I'm going to look for a blog on that in the near future, because that's a big subject, important subject, and anyway, we've had some news coverage of that in the past. You know, back during the 2006-2008 abortion wars on the bans here, and discussions about how much you could say from a pulpit and how far you could go and what you could do in terms of candidate endorsement or not do. And it's a very interesting subject, and it was something that we really looked at in our church pretty definitively and couldn't really find a clear answer. And it's something we should look at.
Absolutely.
You and I should talk about it.
All right, we will. Put it on the list for the future. And today, let's talk about the Attorney General.
Yeah, first of all, I hang around with Jackley once in a while so I can get to his son, Michael, who's one of my fishing buddies. And Michael's 13 now, I think, and he's kind of, the blog that I'm working on that I'm going to put up later today actually leads with Michael rather than with Marty, because Michael and my grandson Jackson and I were fishing out at a farm or a ranch north of town here as we waited for this branding operation to go. That it is from the Norman Ranch, and that's Marty Jackley's in-laws. He married into that ranch family out there almost 17 years ago. And he comes back every year and gets dirty and other stuff, depending on how it ends up when he's on the ground with a thrashing calf. He's doing the wrestling. And, you know, it's one of those ranch operations, so I had an opportunity to go out there, and I'm trying on my blog to write about candidates when I do candidate stories in kind of a different way and a different framing and backdrop, and I thought that would be a good one to start my look at Marty Jackley and his run for governor. So that's why I was out there, and also so I could fish with Michael, who's actually my favorite Jackley.
And everyone knows it, so it's no surprise.
Oh,
right?
Everyone knows it, especially Marty.
So give me an idea. He comes back to the Norman Ranch annually. Is this part, I mean, should people be cynical about, it's a time for a photo op, or is this real work?
They should actually always be cynical, and I am, but he comes back regularly, and Michael says they try to get back once a month. Marty says they don't make it quite that often because of his schedule. But, you know, he's been ever since he took Angela Norman on a turkey hunt up in the Black Hills and Spearfish Canyon on their first date almost 19 years ago and got stuck, and they had to walk out. And yet he called that date successful. So she's a very understanding woman, and she will have to understand even more during this governor's campaign. And so, no, he's out there a lot, and it's clear
what
to
did,
me.
I got to jump in there, yeah. Kevin. What did she like about Marty on the turkey hunt that made it so memorable for her that she wanted a second date?
Apparently, in that mess where everything went wrong for him, you know,
right,
and everything went wrong for them, and he tried to dig them out and tried to push it out, and apparently he showed great patience, and his demeanor was very good, and he gave her his jacket and made sure she was warm, and as they walked out, and you know, was a gentleman in the middle of some duress, and she found that impressive. So that was a good first impression that came out of a pretty bad first date. But he's a he's out there a lot, with good reason. Those are wonderful places to go. You know, I grew up on a farm in central South Dakota, and I still love to connect with that. And he grew up in Sturgis, but his family had a small farm up in the irrigation district near Sturgis where he went in his formative years to paint and work on fences and, you know, understand the irrigation system and things like that. So while he's not a farmer, didn't grow up on a farm, but he grew up with a farm connection, and now he has his ranch connection that right. serves dual purposes. It regenerates him, and it's not a bad way to show yourself off as a South Dakotan either from a political standpoint.
Right. What do you know about Angela and how this this campaign will be on the family? There's kids involved here. So
there are kids involved. Two kids. Isabella is 11 and Michael is 13. And I actually, Michael invited me and my grandson Jackson out early before the branding began to fish. So we went out, went to the ranch and went over to the dam, started fishing, left Marty there. We didn't run. He can be kind of a stick in the mud as he proved on that first date when we're out and about. So I spoke with Michael about that a little bit. You don't ever want to push a kid of that age very much on politics, but I have a comfortable relationship with him. We talked about his dad running, and he's excited about it and obviously naive about what it'll mean a little bit, but he seems excited, and I think I get the impression that Marty, as a lot of the candidates do, tries to protect the children from the worst parts of the political life, and that doesn't mean you can protect the spouse. And so obviously, this is going to be a lot for Angela Jackley to handle, but she's done some of that. Although, you know, he's never really had a tough statewide race, and this will be a tough statewide race because Christine Ohm is a really formidable candidate, so her opponent.
It will be tough, but will it be personal? I mean, do you foresee it getting to the point where it will be challenging on a deeply personal level, or really on that professional? You know, this is there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of effort that needs to, a lot of travel and time needs to go into it. But will it really? Do you foresee be muddy?
They will both argue that they're going to talk issues, and they will both argue that they're, have great respect for each other, I assume. And I was on the phone with Bob Burns this morning. He's a former political science professor, a really smart guy up at SDSU, and he's been helpful to me over the years on many cases. And we were talking about this campaign and how the two of them are likely to engage. And he said he expects it to be close, and that he expects it to get a little testy and a little tough. How personal that gets still remains to be seen. Christine Ohm is not afraid of a fist fight in a campaign. She showed that in 2010 when she beat a really tough, strong, Stephanie Hersey-Sandlin, the Democrat. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how Marty Jackley is. He seems to be prepared for that. He's had some difficult cases to handle as Attorney General and as U.S. Attorney prior to that. But he hasn't been tested in a statewide campaign, and she will test him. I mean, going into that. And then there's a third candidate in there we spoke briefly about last week, and Laura Hubbell, who's kind of the outlier, who will be lobbing grenades at both of them from the outside. So I would expect the campaign to get a little personal before it's
right.
over.
So we've seen Attorney General Jackley's work ethic, and now can we make the analogy between South Dakota state politics and a turkey hunt gone wrong? Will we see his patience sort of play out in his leadership and his campaign?
What I've seen of him so far is that he's got a pretty cool head, and he's done some things. For example, I put on a pheasant hunt. The landowner puts it on. I organize it and bring people out to Nick and Mary Jo Nemec's place by Halliburton. And he and Marty and Michael have come to that a few times. And one of the unstated rules is kind of like when you get a candidate or an elected official in, they kind of get to speak freely. Well, I don't know if I didn't make that clear to Bob Newlin one year, but Newlin took a great comment that Marty had about former Secretary of State Jason Gant and put it up on his Facebook page or on his blog or something. And I was mad about that, and that I thought, and Marty just kind of said, "Well, I wish it hadn't gone up, but I said it, so I'll take, I'll take it. He didn't try to dance around it. I said it, and I've seen him do that in other ways. So I would expect that he'll You know, he'll approach it that way. We've all seen Kristi Noem in campaigns that are one really difficult one in 2010, and I thought in 2012 she had a very legitimate, viable Democratic candidate in Matt Varelick that raised tough issues, and she handled that pretty well too. Plus the work she's done in D.C. So I would expect you're going to see two pretty seasoned pros in this going at it like seasoned pros.
So a few minutes ago, Kevin, we were here in the studio with Jennifer Kirby, who happens to be a high school, fellow student from that I went to high school with. And she was talking about leadership and stepping into that leadership role in your home state. And let's talk about that a little bit, because as I read your work on Marty Jackley, and he's the same age I am, I think back to, you know, this generation of raising the future leaders of South Dakota. What is it about his early years and his college time that sort of, you know, pushed him in that direction where someday he could take, you know, a leadership role in the state and even run for governor?
Well, I think the interesting combination he had of being the grandson of an educator, school superintendent, the son of a state's attorney and a Black Hills State prof, and yet with those farm connections, and then the things that he's learned from the Norman clan up north here over the last 18 or 19 years, I think that's been formative. He had he's a runner. He was a cross country track guy at South Dakota Mines, and is in their Hall of Fame for his running abilities. And he's an electrical engineer graduate there before he went to law school, and then he. You know, he's nine years in private practice here with a big firm in Rapid City, and then went on to U.S. Attorney. And I mean, this is pretty wide-ranging experience to shape a leader. And I think if you look at the way he runs, and I've seen him run, and you will see him run in the campaign because there have been video of him running before. You know, he's a trim, well-conditioned, pretty aggressive-looking runner when he's out on the road, and I think you'll see that again. And he kind of approaches campaigns and his jobs like a track guy and or a cross country guy. Maybe we'd be better with the endurance. Right. He's fast, but I think he's willing to run a long way to get what he wants.
Attorney General, pretty decent launching pad for a governor run, historically speaking, or not?
Well, it sure worked well for Bill Janklow and Frank Farrar, and it didn't work so well for Mark Barnett. You know, and that's something that Bob Burns and I spoke of this morning, because we spoke of the 2002 campaign when Steve Kirby and Attorney General Mark Barnett were the front runners, and Barnett was kind of grooming himself for years as AG to prepare for that race, and then it got nasty, and Mike Rounds, who was kind of the outlier there, although an outlier with a lot more standing than Laura Hubble has, stepped in and won that thing, and the rest is history. And Burns said this morning something interesting. Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels is the one he's watching here, because Matt is not a candidate here now. But if things got difficult between Noem and Jackley, there would be a place there for a legitimate candidate in the Mike Rounds style to step in and say, you know, a lot of unhappiness with the way this campaign is going. I've been encouraged to run. Maybe I'd run. I don't have any indication that Mac Michaels would do that, but Bob Burns said this morning, if there's one person that could step in right now, it's not Laura Hubble, obviously. She's not that kind of a candidate, but it would be somebody like a Matt Michaels, or maybe there's a legislative leader that if things got nasty would just say, you know, I'm going to get into this thing. And there's still a lot of time. I mean, they've taken early run for this, in large part because of the IM-22 campaign stuff that forced people to move money around, you know, them to move money around sooner than they probably would have liked to get going. So,
right.
I would,
fascinating
I would
kind of
watch
to
that.
Watch. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm enjoying watching it with you as a guide as well. You can read Kevin Wooster's blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. That's a good place to comment, too, and be part of that conversation. Kevin, we'll see you next Thursday, and we'll see you on the blog.
Look forward to it.